Right, welcome to episode 3 of Championship Drill. I'm joined by Jerry Collin and Phil Connolly again. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Good to have the football back.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it gives us actual matches to talk about today, as opposed to potential matches. Apologies at the top of the show to anyone who went with our score predictions during the week, because they were not good. But there was a few if they had put them in as just went with our wins or draws or losses, would have done okay.
But if they went for a two-team bet, they might have won something.
Yeah. So I suppose the big news during the week was Mendes Lang being sacked by Cardiff City.
Yeah. It's a very strange one.
It was bizarre, wasn't it, when it came out and nobody saying anything? The manager...
Yeah, but all over Twitter, there's 50 different rumours, so I don't know what's what. So.
Well, no one will know what's what until somebody comes out and says it. I suppose the manager has said serious breach of contract, and he was fully on board with the player leaving. Like we were talking about earlier, if it was a legal matter, odds are that the police would be involved and something would have leaked out by now. It must be something internal within the club, whether it's a club policy, whether it's football related, who knows?
Yeah, I suppose we can't really speculate because it's not really good to spread a load of more lies and rumours around. So.
But it's a tough one.
We'll just say we don't know, and we'll kind of just, when it comes out, we can discuss it, I guess.
We can discuss it then. But it must be tough for Cardiff's prep this week to have that.
And must have been some, there was some toxic energy there Friday morning in the training session.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you think of what some players have done down through the years and not been sacked.
Yeah.
You could ask Tony Adams and Paul Merson that, they'll tell you some great stories.
So, when you think about that, when you think about a guy, if we go back last year, when Richard Keogh was eventually fired from Derby, even though he wasn't driving the car, but they kept on the guy who was driving the car.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting to find out what the actual reasoning behind it is. We can't even guess as to what it is, but it seems like it must be something pretty serious, because he was one of the players that played quite a bit for them.
If you went to Twitter and Reddit, you'd see a lot of false and weird stories out there.
A lot of Cardiff fans speculating as to what it was, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll probably find out in the next week or two when it comes out, whether he talks or someone from one of the club's WhatsApp groups let something slip. Who knows what's going to happen. It's the chance now for, he was taking some guy's place in the team. That guy that doesn't like him in training or something might chuck him under the bus here or something. So I suppose the show goes on. We'll go through the games, talk a bit about the games. We saw some of them. We saw highlights of other ones. We'll give our thing we're going to do every week, our goal of the week, our performance of the week, our shock of the week. And we'll give our predictions again for next week's matches, which will probably, again, go the opposite of what we say, if you want to actually bet on. So the season kicked off. Watford, Middlesbrough on Friday night. A really dull kind of a game. Brighton, New Jersey.
It was very lackluster, and there was hardly any chances that were decent.
Oh, good. But what a jersey, huh? That's some change from Watford last season.
Beautiful. It's just missing Troy Deeney. He must be sniffing around London, around Spurs or somewhere. But it doesn't look right without Troy Deeney in that jersey. Troy, what are you up to?
Yeah, no Deeney, no Fire, or no Fire in the squad. Even
the Corey's gone as well.
Corey's gone. He was playing today for Everton. But it's a strange one for Watford. Deeney is kind of a strange one in that it's hard to imagine him playing for anyone else.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of like if you go back to the old days with Man United, with David Beckham is not going to leave.
Yeah. It was weird for me as well growing up when I know he played at Crystal Palace before he came to Arsenal, but Ian Wright, seeing him play for West Ham when he was at West Ham, it just looked wrong. And the same could be true for Deeney. But Watford, got off to a good start.
Yeah, it was actually a nice finish, to be fair. It was a nice finish.
Yeah, the goal was, it was taken well. But on the flip side of that, we have the team, they beat Middlesbrough, but we talked about a few weeks ago, can't score goals, and it didn't look like they were going to score on Friday night.
No. They really, really need a forward player, ASAP.
Yeah. I mean, they've got about a month to bring somebody in. They really need someone who's going to get them goals, because the rest of the team is solid enough. You're going to struggle in this league if you don't score goals. And they were very low scorers last season, and the forwards just didn't look like they were going to score.
The
game was still going on. It would probably still be, zero in the Middlesbrough box.
But Neil Warnock is a man that would know his players, and he'll get the right one in.
Yeah, definitely.
You would hope so. So last week, in one of our predictions, we all went for an away win in the next game, the Birmingham versus Brentford, for many reasons. One, Birmingham haven't won in 14 games. Brentford, one of the favourites to go up this season. They were missing, obviously, Ollie Watkins has left the club. And I think you're saying Ben Rama wasn't even in the squad, because he's probably
going to leave. In the squad. I'd say he's unsettled, to be honest. I think he's going to leave.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think it's the right thing to do, though, when you have these players who are probably going to leave? There might already be bids in for them that we don't know about. The clubs might already be talking. Rather than using them for a few games and trying to get the best out of them, is there that fear then if they get injured, then the deal is going to be cancelled and we don't get the money? And the player is just going to come back and want to go anyway. So are they doing the right thing in not playing these players?
They're injured as well.
Yeah, so...
There could be an injury there as well.
So it's probably not a bad thing for them to be leaving them out and just going with what they know they'll have for sure.
Yeah.
But that being said, Brentford had 16 shots in the game. Hit the post, they hit the crossbar. So they had only 4 shots on target, but then the post and the crossbar, for whatever reason, don't count as shots on target.
They had a penalty shout as well. They had a decent penalty shout, to be fair. That didn't go their way. Yeah.
Penalty / assault shout, I'd say.
He
kind of just shouldered him into the back of the head. He was going for the ball, but it's one of those tackles I would have loved to put in when I was playing. They're the tackles I absolutely love to see. But in the modern game, the rule is if you endanger your opponent, it's a foul.
And you
cannot jump into someone with that force without thinking there's a possibility you're going to put them in danger.
Yeah. Well, if Fair was there, I'd say the player would have been sent off as well.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
It was some hit.
Yeah.
I think there's so much money in the championship now, it's Fair as needed.
Yeah. And again, we'll have a bit of a chat about that in the Norwich game, because that was one in particular where, things could have been different.
Yeah.
So, great window for Birmingham, Brentford aside. Brentford got off.
Yeah.
So for Birmingham, like we said, they hadn't won in 14 games.
Yeah.
They looked at one stage last season like they could even push for the playoffs. And then suddenly they went on that horrendous run at the end of the season. Had enough points in the bag to not be relegated.
Yeah. They could be a dark horse this year. I don't know.
That's it. Yeah. They looked so good last season for so long, and then the wheels just fell off.
Yeah.
Yeah, like as you say, when it comes to Birmingham City, they're a club that are so big, they should not be in League One. Obviously, financially, they struggle, they've been struggling a while, but I think that's a good starting point for Birmingham to show that they're not going to just turn over the season, Very bad result for Brentford. But yet again, I maintain that Brentford are worried that they're going to lose a lot of players.
And their goalkeeper's gone as well. That was something I saw earlier today.
It looks like I know Arsenal were linked with him. Because Martinez is now leaving Arsenal. But also, like Jerry said, Brentford, the last few years, it seems like they lose 3 or 4 good players every season and somehow find these guys to replace them.
It's a
lot to ask every season to do that.
Yes, mad. Like, the amount of money they've made in the last few years is really, really, like, high. I think they made over 150 million on players they've sold.
Steve, is it Luke Daniels? You're about the goalkeeper, Luke Daniels, for Brentford, is it?
No, it's the other guy. What's his name? The young fella.
Oh, another guy you're on about. He'll come to me in a bit. Yeah, he's like, obviously he's linked to Arsenal. Obviously they see him as a future, perhaps England goalkeeper. He's English, isn't he?
Again, it's a strange one, because if he's going to be playing every week at Brentford, he's going to be getting more games. He comes to Arsenal, he's going to play cup games. He might play in the Europa League. He's not going to start in the Premier League. He's going to get very few Premier League games, you'd imagine, this season. But he will play in Europe. He will play in the cup games. So it's whether he wants to come in. And I suppose, you know, Arsenal have Matt Macey there as well, who the club do highly rate also. So he'd have to compete for him, or with him rather, as well. So it's a strange one. But Brentford last season got off to a very bad start, and that ultimately cost them. They went on that crazy run of like 9 wins in a row when they should have went up. But the reason they needed to win 9 in a row was because their start wasn't great. And that's a worry again if they're off the back
again. Yeah, typical thing.
And we talked, you know, last week about Tony coming in. He scored a lot of goals last season in League One. In fact, the same amount of goals as Ollie Watkins got in the Championship with 26. Yeah. But he's played for them twice now. He played in the Cup, he played in the League. He's not scored yet for them. If that keeps going on into 3, 4, 5 weeks, pressure's really going to start to mount on him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
So
Really is. He really needs to just get that one goal to just settle him down.
And Quaranta made a big call as well in goal when we're talking about goalkeepers. With Jaycock, he did well on goal.
Oh, he's great stuff. He made some really, really good saves in that game.
Throwing 19-year-old into that against one of the favourites for the division. And for him to do that, wonderful stuff.
Maybe there's just no pressure on Birmingham and they just went out and just played. Like.
Well, that's it too. I mean, they, you know, first game of the season, you know, he says, why not? It's a game we're probably not favourites to win. Let's chuck in the youngster, see how he does.
And, he was actually at Colchester last year, or Gloucester. Like, so I think they're in the non-conference league, but like clearly Birmingham know what they're doing. Like, this guy is the under 19 goalkeeper for England. He's got like, you know, 2 or 3 appearances already. This guy could be a future England number one. He's got that look about him.
And it's good that he kind of came in, kept a clean sheet. Like Phil said, made a few saves. That's going to give him a lot of confidence, because the opposite can always happen, especially with a young goalkeeper. You come in, drop a few crosses, something like that, have a clanger, and suddenly your confidence is down. And but thankfully for Birmingham City and for the player himself, he had a great game, and now he should be looking forward to hopefully a good season with Birmingham.
Definitely, and he's a local lad, so that always helps. You know, he's born and bred in Birmingham, so it's going to be a good season for him. Hopefully,
fans love that, don't they? They love the local boy coming out.
And, always get behind him.
So we move on then to the next game. Wickham and Rotherham, two of the teams that came up. It wasn't the greatest game on earth either.
But I did have the really, really bad miss by Daryl Horgan, which was unforgivable.
Slid in. He got to the ball, which is what you would say was the plus point about it. But everything else about it wasn't wonderful. But we know Daryl from playing, like you said, in League of Ireland, playing for the Irish national team. I've always felt there's a bit of like a James McLean in there. He'll nearly die for you on the pitch. Everything. Yeah. So he's going to be a good signing for him, and I'm sure he will score a good few goals.
It was sort of like, I don't know, was it worse than Richarlison's earlier? That was pretty bad as well.
Pretty bad. It was up there with that kind of a miss. But they played him.
Yeah.
We're used to seeing him, I suppose, in League of Ireland playing kind of on one wing or the other. The right wing he played a lot of when he was at Cork City. He could play on the left wing as well and cut in that way. But Wickham yesterday kind of played him in that number 10 role, which is interesting.
We'll
see how he does.
They're obviously missing the big man up front as well, Wickham, you know. The man he likes to dance and stuff, but it's that can make a big difference as well, you know.
Akinfenwa he was badly missed.
Badly missed. He's got a lot of strength. He's going to cause defence huge problems.
Teams are afraid of him, right?
Yeah.
He's impossible to mark when he has the ball at his feet. He's, you know, he's just so big.
It's amazing to think that he's nearly 38 as well.
Yeah. But he's not someone that's going to run around the pitch for you. He's there to, you know, hold the ball up and win headers. And he does that very well. Kind of the saddest part really of fans not being allowed back in must have been that game yesterday. In their 133-year history, it was Wickham's first ever game in the second tier of English football. So to not have the fans there, that must have been quite disappointing for the club and for the fans as well.
Heartbreaking. Always been a great cup team, you know. Obviously, they've come up, they've got a fantastic manager. But yeah, it's heartbreaking. It's yet again, obviously, you know, hopefully fans will lift back into the stadium before the new year. It's not looking likely, but fans are a big part of any football game. And I think Wigan will feel it this year because, you know, they've wanted so hard and so long to get up into that championship. They've finally done it now. Fans aren't there, you know.
But of course, yes, the winners of the game as well, Rotherham. Wigan will be disappointed with the goal they conceded, how late the goal was in stoppage time, which is the second stoppage time goal in a week for Rotherham. They look dangerous once it goes past 90 minutes. Not so dangerous before that, but it was a big win for them.
Huge, and like, it's a game we have to keep an eye on because obviously the Cork lads are there. Obviously, Ogunbeni, you know, he's been there now. He was with Brentford, obviously, went out to Rotherham. Obviously, Kieran Sadley, our Irish international, you know, Cork City player. Like, it's a fixture you keep an eye on. But, like, you know, Rotherham could surprise a lot of teams this year because they're so young. They like to attack on the wing. You've got Sadler and you've got Ogunbeni. Like, these boys can cause serious damage.
And it's a perfect start for them. Like, win, 3 points. And, like, I suppose all the teams that came up, they will be on a high. But realistically, if you offered them safety this season, they'd all take it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Good to get off to that good start. Suppose we'll move on to the next game quickly. Burnsley against Luton. Again, not the greatest game on earth, to say the least. Two teams that really struggled last year. But for Luton, the big plus is got to be Collins. His fourth goal in a week.
Yeah.
Took it really, really well.
Yeah, that was a really good finish. And very impressive.
There's a stat there from him. In his last 24 shots on target, he scored 16 goals. That's some strike rate.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
So he's one of those at the moment. And with 4 goals in a week, 3 of them in the cup, obviously. But he looks like if he gets a chance, he's going to put it away. And for a team like Luton, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the difference between staying up. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
And again, kind of like the last one where you have two teams that just came up and their survival is what they're looking for. Luton and Burnsley, two teams that just scraped out of relegation last season as well.
Yeah.
So it was going to be a big win for one of those teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Collins is the man to keep him up.
He made that difference. Like, he's got 100 goals in his last 200 appearances. Obviously, he was at Crawley Town for a while. And I think he was at loan in Northampton, but like, Irish international, 4 international caps, 1 goal. You know, he's got over 60 goals from Luton. I think this guy can be the man that will, you know, definitely keep them above relegation, even though I still maintain that Luton will go down.
Yeah, and Barnsley, again, they got a great win at the end of last season. They kind of, I wouldn't say they fluked their way out of relegation, but they kind of did.
Yeah.
So there, you know, it's a game they probably would have thought, this is one we could get off to a good start as well. So they'll be disappointed they lost it.
Yeah, especially at home as well, yeah.
You know, it's a tricky one there.
Yeah.
All right, so moving away there now from the Barnsley-Luton game onto what was one of the games of the weekend, really. And we said it was going to be a tough game last week for Bournemouth. And it proved to be that, a 3-2 win over Blackburn Rovers. What do you make of this game?
I actually think Blackburn could have scored another 3 or 4. They just couldn't get shots on target.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they had like 15 shots in the game.
Yeah, and the only 2 on target went into the net. Which could be an issue for Bournemouth when you think they've lost their goalkeeper that they had last season.
Yeah.
First Blackburn.
Also, Mark Travers is a great goalkeeper. He was on goal for Bournemouth. I think he's a big goalkeeper.
Made a horrendous mistake for Blackburn's first goal.
Oh, yeah.
Human, though. He's human.
Yeah.
2 shots on him, 2 goals, no saves. That's something they're going to need to sort out.
Yeah.
But they did get a few great goals. Stacey, Lerma, Dejuma scored for Bournemouth. And who got the look there? Johnson and Armstrong got the goals for Blackburn Rovers. Yeah. The first 2 Bournemouth goals, especially, or the first Bournemouth goal and the last Bournemouth goal, great strikes.
Oh, the last one was my favourite one of the lot.
Well, it was a wonderful
especially goal. Especially when, like, especially because it was that injury time and it was just, like, the perfect way to win the first game.
Yeah.
A great, great solo effort. So yeah. He looks like he's going to be exciting. Solanke was playing yesterday.
He did well, yeah.
He was involved in a lot. He didn't get a goal, obviously, but he was involved in a lot. And we were talking about it last week that it's a big season for him.
100%. He's got a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
In terms of that, both teams looked pretty good yesterday. Blackburn twice came from behind and obviously ended up losing 3-2. Kind of eerily similar to the Liverpool Leeds game, just with less goals in it.
Yeah. I think Bournemouth with Lewis Cook, you know, he's a big player in my opinion, Lewis Cook. He's, you know, I've kind of watched him for a while. He is a massive player. Obviously Jack Stacey had a good player, obviously he scored a goal. Like, that's what you want to see from your defenders, you know what I mean? It's a goal. But yeah, Bournemouth obviously got a good start, I think. And I think it'll take a lot. They'll definitely be in that promotion run, no doubt.
Yeah.
Obviously they sold Wilson, who had a great game for Newcastle as well, on his debut for Newcastle. So they have that money there as well to invest if they need to. Yeah. Where they're going to invest it, I don't.
A forward player
maybe, yeah. And they also obviously have money from the goalkeeper. You know, they're doing, you know, whatever they need. I mean, they scored 3 goals, but their defence obviously was a bit shaky. They allowed a lot of shots on their goal yesterday. But then Blackburn are a good side, so they're not going to be playing Blackburn every week. And what do you think about Blackburn? I mean,
they look decent. I think mid-table, but they look decent.
Yeah, they're on the up, definitely. They're definitely on the up. Yet a young team. I think Bradley Johnson, he's a big player for Blackburn, but I think they're definitely on the up. I think Blackburn could definitely be, you know, inside that top 10, definitely.
Yeah, they absolutely look good yesterday. Another of the promoted sides that lost yesterday was Coventry. They lost away to Bristol City.
Very unlucky.
They were really, really unlucky. They were unlucky not to get a draw. They probably deserved a draw on the basis of play. Very brave, kind of, again, not to draw too many comparisons, but to the way Leeds played against Liverpool, Coventry thought, you know what, we're just going to play our football against this team. And, you know, Bristol City are one of, you know, the teams that would be pushing for promotion, you'd imagine, or the playoffs.
Yeah.
Kind of brave by Coventry to just try and take them on. And it all.
I actually thought they were going to hold on for a draw, but.
And the manager will be disappointed with the goals they conceded. Two very sloppy goals defensively.
Very soft goals.
And they lost Kelly very early on. Bad looking injury.
Yeah, could be in the season job, I'd say.
So he's going to be a huge loss for Coventry. Which is not what you want in your first game of the season.
Bristol obviously missing O'Dowda as well.
Big time.
But I suppose the winner. Who got the winner there for Bristol City? I'm going to have a look. It was their new captain, Callas, wasn't it? And he was made captain about an hour before kickoff.
Happy days.
New club. So a good day all round for him to score the winner and be named club captain. All in the space of a couple of hours. But
Thank you, Gareth. We've
said kind of all the way through the last few podcasts, when it comes to Bristol City, a good start is vital if they want to push
for the playoffs. Massive.
So to get the win, even though, you know, it probably deserved to be a draw in some ways that game. But you know, they got the win, it's just gonna show 3 points on the league table. A great start for them that hopefully they'll be hoping they can push on for.
Yeah, I think so. They should be able to have from here anyway.
I think so,
We spoke earlier, I suppose, about Cardiff and how that might have disrupted their plans during the week. But when you do sack a player, he's going to have friends in the club that are good mates with him and everything, and it's going to cause some sort of disruption because someone's always going to think he was unfairly treated. Obviously, we don't know the ins and outs of it, but no matter what it is, they'd say, look, he probably didn't have to fire him. You know, there's probably other things he could have done. Obviously, we won't know that until we know what actually happens. But some of it must be kind of, it must have upset them a little bit. And then
I say there was a lot of toxic energy in the dressing room the last 2 days.
And then to Sheffield Wednesday.
I thought Sheffield Wednesday would lose, to be fair, and they did. I really did.
Yeah. I mean, was it Josh Windus got a goal? He got an assist for Wednesday. He looked
nice goal,
actually. But again, starting off a -12 to get a win first game, that's got to lift that club.
Oh, huge.
You know, because now
they're still trying to appeal that. So we don't know yet.
We don't know yet what'll happen. Yeah, but they've got to take it as they're not going to win the appeal.
Yeah.
So in terms of Cardiff, who, you know, had a very good season last year. Horrible way to start the season for them. Not just with everything that's going on around the club.
It's not healthy. Obviously, you know what I mean, with the sacking of their one of their main stars, obviously there's gonna be a lot of talk in the dressing room. I suppose we've all been in that scenario back in the day, Steve and Phil, where we've been in the dressing room and the one player doesn't turn up and you could see how much it affects a team. A lot's going to tell. Obviously, Cardiff, I think our predictions were pretty clear that we reckon Cardiff will be in that top half the season. But, Jordan Rose scored a second goal for Sheffield Wednesday. Like, he's been around a long time. And, like, when you have a player like him scoring against a top side of Cardiff, I think it just goes to show the atmosphere isn't there. Like, so it's... Time will tell. Obviously, this player has deleted all his social media stuff. It's headline news. Something serious you want at that club. And I think I think he's got a bit of anger towards the management and the owners as well. So maybe there is serious trouble in the camp of Cardiff.
Yeah, like the next 6 weeks are crucial at that club.
Huge. Yeah. And you need to get off to a good start. Obviously, at the start, as you know, lads, fixtures will always be kind of rough and tumble. But like Cardiff need to get off to a good start because you could lose your first six games. Normally, them teams get relegated, so it's vital to get off to a good start.
And again, it's the top six, you know, two go up. And you have the other four then, obviously, making the playoffs. So out of, 24 teams in the league, so there's a lot of competition for those playoff places.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good teams in the division. We said, Brentford have lost their opening game, which is the team you'd expect to be up there. Cardiff have lost. Yeah. You know, so they're going to struggle. Whereas you have Watford and Bournemouth both won, Norwich got a win, Derby lost, and it puts a lot of pressure on the teams that especially want to push for the playoffs. And if you've lost your first game, the pressure's on not to, you know, lose your next one and your next one. And suddenly you're playing catch up and you're 7, 8, 9 points behind your rivals.
Yeah, and then at Christmas you're like 15, 16. So, yeah, I know what you mean.
And there's always a twist in the championship where there's points deductions. There's
somebody always put on a ring, like
Yeah, there's always a team found out and there's a deduction. The championship won't be the championship without a team being deducted points.
And there's always a team like it was Brentford last season, even though they didn't go up. That nearly end of the season, just go on a run of like the last 12 games and from nowhere make it into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 10, 12 points outside the playoffs all season and suddenly they end up finishing fifth or fourth or something in the
table. Yeah.
One of them it seems every year.
I'd love to see it.
So that's the way it is. So then we just talked there about Norwich. Again, a good for Irish. Adam Ida played both games for Ireland in the international break. Where he came off the bench to get a goal. You wouldn't exactly call it a classic.
He took it well, but it was an awful mistake by the defenders. Really, really poor.
He basically passed the ball to Pookie. Who obviously went around to the keeper and laid it back for Ida to tap it in basically to an empty net.
I'm surprised he didn't start the game, to be honest, Steve. I think obviously Pookie was a sensation in the Premier League last season for the first 7 or 8 games.
Yeah.
But Pookie hasn't done much, you know, towards the end of the Premier League campaign. Like, Adam Oida is obviously, you know, he's buzzing after his Irish debut. Surprised he didn't put two up front.
I think it's more to do with resting him, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's a lot of games.
You know, he plays...
He's a young lad. Very energetic.
I know.
Look at poor Tim Krul on goal for Norwich. He must be about 56 out of this stage. Another Brad Friedel.
I know, yeah.
He'd go on forever, Krull. But, yeah, but an interesting one. It might be like Phil says, it might be a case of he played both internationals for Ireland. He's young. Yeah, yeah. It's like, look, it's the first game of the season. Let's not make him play three games in a week, basically, because he's young, and let's not overuse him. Plus, like you said, in the Championship, more so even than the Premier League, it's important to have a striker that can come off the bench.
Yeah.
And if Norwich want to use Pukki for the majority of the games as their main man, and then maybe bring Ida on with him or for him when there's like 20, 25 minutes to go and use that energy, he's going to do damage then off the bench. But I think he'll probably, you know, start a fair few games for them this season, and the rest of them he'll be a weapon off the bench for sure.
I think so, yeah. Like that, how did it have a penalty in that game? I'll never know.
Yeah.
Two shouts for a penalty. One where the player was, you know, basically nearly cut in half with a tackle in the box. I don't know how
the
penalty. And the other one, the defender all but caught the ball with his arm way, way out to his side. It certainly wasn't down by his side when he handled it.
The referee actually apologised to the Norwich manager after the game.
It was unusual, but the ref obviously saw
he got it wrong,
and said, look,
it goes back to having no VAR, though. There's no VAR in the Championship.
As I said, there's no VAR, and in the Championship, especially lower down, you've people, you've got players who are dependent on it for their livelihood, like we said, could end up, you know, missing games through suspension if they get it wrong. Like we saw in the Premier League yesterday, we saw a red card overturned by VAR.
Yeah.
That would have been a 3-game ban. Well, they probably would have appealed it and won. But at the same time, it could have ended up being a 3-game ban. But instead, the ref went and he had a look and he said, no, it was more of a yellow card, so he gave the yellow card. But in the Championship, you had Brentford there who lost their opening game. Probably should have had a penalty. VAR might have given it.
Yeah. Not
had two penalties, which would have made it possibly a 3-0 win as opposed to a 1-0 win. And, you know, Huddersfield could have fluked one at the end. And, you know, they didn't. But is it... The technology is there. Should it just be used across the board where possible?
I think yes, but not as extensive down the lower leagues.
There must be a cost to it, Steve. Obviously, the fact that it's in the Premier League, it's essential. We've seen 90% of positive outcomes of it, but, you know, maybe it's down to the cost. I don't know, is it something... Like, obviously, the Championship is easily one of the biggest leagues in the world. I think it's like the amount of things you'd see happen in Championship with VAR would be incredible.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun, though, to see. I suppose it would lose of that fun of the old school, the referees making horrendous decisions, which tends to happen more in the Championship. But I suppose, in a way, the Premier League is kind of supposed to be the elite league for the elite players.
Yeah.
But it also then is meant to have the better referees, the Premier League.
Yeah.
So by that, like, logic, the referees in the Championship are considered not as good as the Premier League referees. But they
need
to help almost more than the referees in the Premier League could use it.
I know.
It's strange, it's like you said. Like, I agree with you, Phil. Like, League One and League Two are different in terms of how much money is in those leagues. But the Championship is like the sixth biggest league in the world or something? Sixth biggest league in Europe. There's a lot of money there in the Championship. There's big TV deals for the Championship. It's not as rich as the Premier League, but nothing is as rich as the Premier League. So certainly the cost is probably a factor, but it's something they should definitely be talks about, because it's a strange one. And them not having it then as well is also strange when it comes to FA Cup games, because they use the VAR if it's at a Premier League ground, but not if it's at a Championship ground.
Yeah.
A whole other debate then on what's fair and not fair.
Yeah.
Which will come to when the FA Cup starts kicking off. We can look forward to some of those ties, I suppose. But Norwich, I suppose they'd be happy with the 3 points, maybe not with how they played.
No.
Yeah. I suppose it would
be good to get off that.
They'll take it.
They will.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that, Huddersfield, awful last season, still can't seem to buy a goal.
They're going to lose. They're going to lose their forward. Grant, I think, is going to go to West Brom.
And that's going to be a problem for them. I mean, they really look like they're going to be in that relegation scrap if they don't find someone to put the ball in the net.
But if you look at that team, Steve, that team compared to their Premier League squad, it's just a shell. Oh my God, like, you, you probably know one or two names on that, like Richard Stearman, he's been around a while, but like Pippa, it's that I remember Huddersfield in the Premier League. They had some good players, a good manager. Jesus, when you look at the squad now, it's just an absolute shell. It's scary to see it.
It is. Yeah. That's what can happen when a team tries to buy their way into staying in the Premier League.
Yeah.
You know, whereas you look at Norwich, who have come down, they've sold Jamal Lewis, who, again, great debut for Newcastle yesterday. But they didn't spend money when they came into the Premier League.
Yeah.
So they have their Premier League money. They have their parachute payments. They have their championship money. And they essentially still have the same squad that won, that ran away with the league the year they went up. So they must still, I think across the board, pretty much everyone agrees Norwich are the favourites to win the league.
Definitely.
Oh, I see so.
And as you said, like Jamal Lewis, obviously he was linked to Liverpool. Obviously he went to Newcastle. Great, great move for him. But I liked what he said. He said he's going to work towards, obviously he said Newcastle's a massive club, but he's not going to let it bother him. He's going to, obviously he's a bit upset about that Liverpool move and stuff. Obviously Norwich kind of outpriced him. But it just goes to show like how determined these championship players are. They're, you know what I mean? They know the championship is one of the best leagues in the world.
Norwich have great young players.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we'll see how they do next week. Yet a game that I suppose we all thought would be pretty good last week turned out to be probably the worst game of the season. and it'll be go a long way to find a worse game than this all season, I'd say. Millwall nil, Stoke nil.
Yeah.
From my point of view, I think there's only one talking point in the whole game, and that was the penalty shout.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a two-handed push in the back to me.
It did.
And again,
Michael O'Neill was furious about it.
Again, VAR probably would have given it.
Probably, yeah.
You know, but I think there was what, one shot on target in for Millwall in the whole game.
Yeah,
you know, didn't do much better with like a couple of shots. An absolutely dreary game. But upon
I think every player on that pitch were starstruck with John Obi Mikel in that. I mean, this man's a legend. He's playing with Stoke. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's what happened. They're all watching him. Nick Powell, all these great championship players. John Obi Mikel's on the pitch. They're all observing the greatness of John. That's the truth.
I suppose as bad as the game was, a point apiece, and what's a tough game for both teams, they won't be too disappointed, either side, that they got a point.
Yeah, they're happy with the point, yeah.
Because they play that bad against other teams, they'll probably lose. Both of them. So they'll be happy enough that they split it there, that, you know, they were equally bad as each other yesterday.
Definitely. Where was Troy Parrott? Is he injured? I can't recall him being injured, but he's
just getting used to the team, isn't he? And, you know, so we'll wait and see when he's going to break out and get his hat tricks and everything. So will we move on to the next one?
Yeah.
Which again was a bit of a shock result in some ways, only because Derby, I suppose, were the home team, but losing 2-0 at home to Reading.
Derby are solid, very solid. It was great to see Andrew Winston back into the Derby squad. Obviously, there was an incident there a couple of months back where an intruder stabbed him or he was attacked. So it's great to see him back in the squad. Obviously, David Marshall is a veteran goalkeeper, still doing the job. But, I would have predicted Reading to beat Derby 2-0. You know, you can give me all the odds in the world. I would have said before that game, there's no way that Reading would get that result. Obviously, there's a lot of history in the club, Steve and Phil. Yeah. But, I was shocked with that result, to be honest.
Yeah, no, same. I actually thought Derby would have this in the bag, to be honest.
Yeah, and to be fair to Reading, was it Ngeria got a really nice goal for them? He did well. But David Marshall pulled off some saves. I mean, this could have been 4-5-0. All right, and we move on now to the second last game that we're going to cover this week was Preston Swansea. I think, again, we probably thought Preston's the home team would do a bit better than they did yesterday. They obviously lost to Swansea. Morgan Gibbs-White with Phil's favourite goal of the weekend, probably.
Yeah, it was a freaky goal. It was weird.
It was awful, wasn't it? I think it hit both his knees to go in. Preston, weird lineup for Preston as well, with Alan Brown
very
back.
Very, very bizarre.
I don't know when Alan Brown last played right back or if he's ever played right back before in his life.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Probably played cornerback or back rock.
You know, which
I actually thought Preston would at least score one goal in that match, though.
Yeah.
And, it's tough, though, isn't it, for them? Maguire didn't start. Barkhausen had a chance or two for him, but they didn't look great going forward. And now it looks like Johnson is going to be leaving the club. He was their highest league scorer last season with 12.
Yeah.
Huge
loss.
I suppose the good news for Ireland is probably mean Shawny Maguire might have a chance to actually play through the middle for them a bit more.
Yeah.
Out on the wings. But, yeah, Preston, I don't know. I don't know why Alan Brown's playing right back, but.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange.
And Swansea, I suppose, they did okay. They weren't great either. But if Preston didn't look great, they're so inconsistent all the time, it seems. They've got off to a pretty bad start. They have a tough game coming up next week. So it's not the ideal start, I suppose, for Preston as much as anything else. Kind of a shock, really.
Yeah, I thought Jarneo was very good yesterday.
He was good.
Yeah.
He's again, we talked about him. He's a player that Swansea are going to have to hold on to as well.
Yeah. He set up like 3 or 4 great chances on it. There was definitely, they should have taken another 2 at least.
Yeah. And I said, he's their main man. And it looks like Johnson is going to go to Rangers. If that seems to be the way. I suppose that depends on what. With Rangers.
I didn't know that at all. That's.
You know, your man at Rangers, what's his name? Can't remember his name.
Guy Kent.
Huh?
Ryan Kent.
No, the mad fella that's always getting sent off.
Morelos, is it?
Yeah. There's if he leaves, I suppose maybe that's why they're looking at bringing Johnson in.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens there with that. But Preston again, they're gonna be, if they want to push for a promotion, you need to get that good start and tough game at the weekend coming up, and there's every chance there could be 0 wins from 2 games. Which is, it's going to be hard on them. But Swansea scraped into playoffs last year. So, you know, they did well to get off to a good start there and a nice win. So,
good start, yeah.
Good start. So, on to the last game of the season, Jesus, we're only after starting and wishing it away already. Last game of the weekend, even. QPR, Nottingham Forest. Great win for the home side.
Yeah, Forest looked very impressive.
Yeah.
They really were.
Yeah. I mean, QPR.
They might actually have 1 or 2 players as well.
Yeah. I mean, QPR, we were saying, Dyke's a big signing for them, wondering how he'd do coming down from Scotland. Got fouled in the box. He took penalty himself, tucked it away. So, great for him to get a goal.
Yeah.
The debut.
Yeah, it's great. Start.
And I still think that Tom Carroll is a huge player for QPR. Obviously, you know, an ex-Spurs man. But yeah, he's looking good.
Yeah. Good manager, right? They could be good.
Yeah, they could. They play good football. I mean, they're one of the teams that people like to see and play. Forest, though, look like they're still suffering from the shock of not getting into the playoffs last season.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Marsh.
And is that kind of a case which is a bit tough on them, the fact that the season ended like a month ago? Whereas usually you have players could go on a holiday, they'd come back, they'd have a pre-season, they'd play a lot of friendlies, they get used to, you know, getting back into the swing of things. They haven't had that with this weird pre-season. So that's in their heads more than it would usually be.
It could be true. So, I think so.
So, QPR, great start for them. And before we go on to our predictions for next week's game, so I'm going to ask you for a couple of things. I'm going to ask you for your performance of the week. What team surprised you this week?
I think Reading.
Reading performance for you?
Yeah. Reading shocked me, definitely.
Reading.
For me, I think Sheffield Wednesday, just because minus 12 points, to get a win away from home, a huge start for them. So, for me, they're my performance of the week. In terms of a player?
I'm going to say Jarneo. He was superb.
There you go for Swansea. Jerry?
You have to agree. I have to agree 100%. Yet again, great player. Wouldn't be surprised if a Premier League team goes in for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to go with the young keeper at Birmingham, Jay Cockle.
Yeah.
And for him to come in like that on his debut and perform as well as he did, you know, I'll give him my my player of the week this week anyway. How about your goal of the week?
Bournemouth's third goal.
Jefferson,
because of how late they scored it and how class it was.
And Juma's goal, is it St. Juma? Yeah, curler into the top corner. Wonderful strike. Yeah. What for you, Jerry?
Yeah, it was the exact same. You know what I mean? As I said, the 84 minute, what a time to do it. Obviously, Blackburn brought it back to 2-2. I think it was a 70 minute. And then obviously, then the 84 minute, boom, 3-2. You know, great finish, you know, proper finish at that. So I'd have to give it to that one as well, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be hard to disagree with that, but I'm going to. I'm a sucker for a good set piece, so I'm going to give it to Rhodes for Sheffield Wednesday second, because I love when a training ground routine comes off. And to flip it in, two lads head the ball onto him, one onto the other, onto Rhodes. Just because I love a set piece goal. So that for me was it. And what about your shock of the week?
I think Reading beating Derby is again.
Yeah.
It just came out of nowhere, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd have to agree. I think my shock of the week would definitely be the Sheffield Wednesday one would be close, but given what happened to Cardiff during the week, probably not as surprising. So I'll agree with you there. Across the board, shock of the week was Reading's victory. So we'll move on to predictions. Let's see if we can do better this week. Let's see how it goes before we leave this one. Friday night's game this week is going to be a good one. Coventry at home to QPR. Well, when I say at home, in Birmingham to QPR.
Yeah.
Predictions for that one?
Coventry 2-1.
Gary?
QPR 3-0.
QPR 3-0. Whoa. I'm going to go for a QPR 3-2 victory. It's going to be a great game, I think, Friday night under the lights.
Yeah.
Saturday's game, so Nottingham Forest versus Cardiff.
1-1. Yeah. Draw.
Forest.
Scoreline.
2-0.
2-0 Forest. Yeah, I'm gonna go with a 1-0 Forest win on that one. Brentford Huddersfield.
That's gonna be very true. I'm gonna go bold. I'm gonna go 0-0.
0-0. All right, Jerry.
Brentford 2-1 because Brentford are home.
2-1 to Brentford at home. I'm gonna say Brentford break out here. I'm going to say 5-1 to Brentford.
Oh, yes.
I have a feeling everything's going to click. Tony's going to get a hat-trick. Middlesbrough versus Bournemouth?
I actually think Middlesbrough 1-0.
Jerry?
Bournemouth 2-0. Dominic Solanke with 2 goals.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 away win there. Reading Barnsley.
Reading.
Reading
3-1. 3-1. And for you, Jerry, was it?
1-0 to Reading.
1-0 to Reading. I'm going to go for Reading 2-1 there in the game against Barnsley. So that's a bankered lap. We went for one. There was one game last week where we all went for a side to win. Do you know what one it was? Brentford Birmingham. We all went for Brentford Birmingham 1. So that should be good news. For fantasy fans. Blackburn Wickham.
Blackburn.
I'm gonna say Wickham.
Blackburn 1-0.
1-0.
Wickham 2-0.
Wickham 2-0. I'm gonna go for a 1-1 draw there, Wickham to get their first point. Rotherham Millwall.
Rotherham.
1-0.
1-0 for Rotherham?
Yeah.
And Phil?
Rotherham 2-1.
2-1. I'm going to say a 3-1 win for Millwall there.
Cool.
Sheffield Wednesday versus Watford?
Watford.
1-1.
1-1. And you're going for Watford?
Yeah, 2-1.
2-1. I'm going to go for a fascinating 3-3 draw on that one.
You dark horse.
Luton versus Derby.
Derby.
Actually, Derby. Yeah. I'm going to say Luton Town.
Yeah, scores?
2-1 Derby. 2-1 the other way.
Wayne Rooney to get the second goal.
I'm going to say 2-0 to Derby in that one. Norwich, home to Preston.
Norwich.
1-1.
3-0.
3-0 Norwich for you. I'm going to say a 2-0 win for Norwich there. Swansea, Birmingham.
Swansea. 2-2.
Yeah. Jerry, what do you think?
3-1 to Swansea.
3-1 to Swansea. I'm going to go for an away win there. A shock away win. Birmingham to do it 2 weeks in a row. 2-0 to Birmingham in that one again. The last game then, Stoke against Bristol City.
Stoke.
Another boring, they'll all draw.
They'll all draw for Stoke again. And you're going for Stoke to win, Jerry?
Stoke. Tom Ince to come off the bench and score.
1-0?
Yeah, 1-0. 78 minute.
I'm going to go with Phil on that one in terms of a draw, but I'm going to hope for excitement. I'm going to say 2-all in that one. So we'll see how we do this week. Last week we were awful. We weren't that bad, but scoreline wise we were pretty awful. So we're going to leave it there, folks. Some great games again next weekend. And I suppose good news, we're hoping to be back in our studio next week. So we'll, you know, you won't have to look at my living room and Phil's room and Jerry's white walls anymore. We'll have our proper studio back. So thanks everyone for listening and for subscribing and everything like that. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.